Well, if you would, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. This is the story of Paul's journey by ship to Rome, and we'll just read a few verses. You know the story of the great storm and the trouble that the ship encountered. In verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." And you can apply that verse 25 to everything in the Word of God. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. All right.
Let's turn now in our great hymns of faith to number 450. 450. Oh. Let's stand, please, on this song.
There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love, it was that bound me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
Thank you. You may be seated.
Our guest speaker tonight is missionary Daniel Parks, affectionately known as Moose. I told him I just would not introduce him that way, but this is the way he's known to his friends, and I want to be a friend with this man. And his wife, Sandy, we're delighted to have them here this evening. Moose is a missionary to the U.S. Virgin Islands. He's the pastor of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in St. Croix. Before that, he was a missionary in Tortola for many years. He's been the pastor at the church in Louisville. And his schedule, while he's in the States this month, is very, very, very hectic. And we are delighted that he could make time to be with us this evening. And as if traveling all the way from Crow and preaching for us was not enough, he has graciously consented to sing a special for us. And after he sings a special, Brother Eric Floyd is going to come and read scripture for us and lead us in prayer. So, Moose, you come.
The words to this hymn were reportedly found on the body of a soldier during the American Revolutionary War. They appeared for the first time in the Gospel magazine published in England, 1776. The writer of the hymn would not affix his name to it. He simply signed it Sylvestris. We later learned that Sylvestris is Jehoiada Brewer, an Anglican preacher in England, and evidently this was the only hymn he ever wrote, and my favorite. Hail sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who rules the sky I fought with hands uplifted high. Despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light. Madly I ran that sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, almighty love, arrest that man. And he did. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view to Sinai's fiery mouth I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, your works are not a hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared and led me on with gentle pace to Jesus Christ, what a hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell that must have sunk the world to hell. He bore it for his chosen race and thus became their hiding place. Should storms of sevenfold thunder roll and shake this earth from pole to pole, no thundering bolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast. There I shall sing of sovereign grace. I'll always sing of sovereign grace to Jesus Christ, my hiding place.
Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock, in my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, till I have shown thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Thank God for his word. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for this time that you've given us, this place you've given us to gather together. We're thankful for this one you've brought our way tonight to again preach thy gospel. But we thank you for your care and your protection. Lord, how you've watched over and provided, and Lord, you've blessed us beyond all that we could ever hope or imagine. Lord, give us thankful hearts. Lord, cause us to truly be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, to be thankful for thy mercies each day. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we murmur and complain. Forgive us when we find fault. Lord, cause us to always be thankful. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for our families. Lord, we're thankful for our homes, Lord, for your provision, all that your hand has provided. But above all things, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we desire to know more of him. Teach us more, Lord, of our condition. Lord, teach us more of our Savior. Teach us more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us to know him. Lord, for those who are in a time of trouble, those of our family, those of our friends, Lord, those who are sick and hurting, Lord, we pray you'd be merciful. Lord, we pray for your hand, comfort and strength. And Lord, in all these things, Lord, so much that we do not understand, Lord, cause us to look to thee. Cause us to rest in thee, knowing that thou doest all things well. Now again, we thank you for your many blessings. We praise thee and we give thee thanks for thy many, many blessings. And pray that you would, Lord, bless us with your presence here this evening. Lord, in the reading of thy word and the singing of hymns, and Lord, in the preaching of thy gospel, bless thy word. Cause it to go forth in the power of thy spirit. We pray for Brother Parks as he stands here in this place. Lord, who's sufficient? Who's sufficient for these things? Uphold him by thy spirit, and Lord, be pleased to speak through your servant this night. Bless us with ears to hear and, Lord, hearts to receive thy word. Again, we thank you for your many blessings, but above all, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen.
Let's turn to page 452. Let's do the chorus after the odd verses 1, 3, and 5. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he
prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In pity angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Every time I've stood up here this evening, I've forgotten to tell you. I heard this afternoon Peggy Moore's father passed away. It must have been last night or early this morning, so we want to remember her and that family in prayer. As I said, we're delighted to have Brother Parks here to preach for us tonight. And I pray, Lord, bless you. Preach the message God's given you.
Good evening. Invite your attention to the book of Joshua, chapter 20. Joshua, chapter 20. I'm blessed to be here. My beloved and I both are blessed to be here. And I appreciate you scheduling this service at a time when you ordinarily do not meet. I appreciate you doing that and accommodating my schedule. And we've been pleased to, or blessed to travel over 1,000 miles a week for the past few weeks, and we're about ready to wind it up, and I'll be heading back to St. Croix, God willing, on the 11th of July, but we appreciate your kindness and your fellowship for, lo, these many years. It's been since 1984 was the first time I met you folks, at least those of you who are my age, and I appreciate the fellowship and the friendship and the kindness for all those years, and it's a blessing and a privilege to be here with you tonight. Joshua chapter 20, and God willing, I would speak to you on the subject of Christ typified by cities of refuge. Joshua chapter 20. The Lord. His name is in all uppercase letters. It is his name, Jehovah. Jehovah also spoke to Joshua, who was the successor to Moses, and he said, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses. That the manslayer, the slayer who kills any person accidentally or unintentionally, this is no murderer. He's a manslayer, involuntary manslaughter. It is not premeditated murder. A distinction is made that he may flee there to the city of refuge. And they shall be for your refuge from the avenger of blood. I want us to look at that subject tonight. Cities of refuge. When you read the scriptures and find anything that speaks of salvation in many ways, it's always typical of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That ark into which the Lord put Noah, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. And so many other types and figures and shadows, pictures are all foreshadowing Jesus Christ and point us to Him. Not everyone sees it. Hopefully tonight the Lord be pleased to bless us so that we do. I would have you know that when the Lord gave His law to Israel, He made a very clear distinction between the man who accidentally kills someone and the man who kills one with premeditation. He who committed murder was given no mercy. No mercy. It was strict justice with its wrath. But when a man killed someone unintentionally, accidentally, without premeditation, God was merciful to that man and gave a means by which he might escape. And that means was these cities of refuge. There were three of them on both sides of the Jordan River. When Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness, they came first to the east bank of the Jordan, where the tribes of Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben wanted their inheritance. And so Moses appointed three cities of refuge on the east bank. Moses was not permitted to go into the land, and so Joshua led them across the Jordan River. And once they were across and had conquered the land, three more cities on the west bank of the Jordan River were set up. It is a little known fact, but it is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 8 through 10, that Moses said, if the Lord should prosper you and increase your land, which of course would have required their obedience, for it was a conditional covenant, if the Lord should increase your land, make three more cities. Well, Israel did not keep the covenant, and they never needed those three cities, the other three cities of refuge, but they had the six. They had the six cities of refuge. They were three on the west bank, three on the east bank, two in the north, and two in the south, and two in the center, so that everyone was close to one of them, and no one was to be far from any or from one of them. We're going to consider how that these cities of refuge were pictures of Jesus Christ, how they typified Jesus Christ, how that when you look at these cities of refuge and look at them closely, you should be able to see in shadow Jesus Christ. Consider first that these cities of refuge were ordained by God. Look in verse 1 of our text. Jehovah also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses. God ordained these cities. God said, you shall have these cities because I said so. and I have designated that these cities shall be set up. This is my decree. God says, I am making provision for certain people, and it is my intention, my purpose, that you have these cities so that the manslayer may find refuge therein. These cities of refuge, every one of them, was ordained of God. They were chosen by the people, but they were ordained of God. God made this provision, and God ordained it. God decreed it. And likewise, Jesus Christ is a refuge ordained by God. Isaiah 32 verse 2 says that that Jehovah prophesied, a man will be as a hiding place. A man will be as a hiding place. The psalmists and people of Israel in general always looked for a hiding place in Jehovah. He is my hiding place. God is my hiding place. Jehovah is my hiding place. Jehovah says, a man will be your hiding place. Now, this man is Jehovah, but he also is man. This one is God manifested in the flesh, and he was ordained by God to be the refuge for his people, a hiding place for their souls. He's ordained by God, predestined of God, decreed of God, and as the cities of refuge gave refuge to men and for their physical bodies, so Jesus Christ gives refuge to the souls of men. Second, these divinely ordained cities of refuge were the only refuges. You could not find refuge anywhere else. Not even in Jerusalem. You could not find refuge in Jerusalem. We read concerning these cities of refuge that if a man committed murder and fled to the very altar in Jerusalem and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar thinking that he might find refuge, God said, drag him away and kill him. Drag him away. No refuge, even at God's altar in the temple in Jerusalem, for the man who committed murder. But if you could get to one of these cities, you were safe. They were the only cities. You could not say, well, that town's a little bit closer. Doesn't work that way, folks. Does not work that way. Only six cities were appointed and designated by God, and you had to go to one of them. No other refuge. And likewise, for our souls, there is only one refuge. Only one refuge, and that one refuge is Jesus Christ. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, that phrase means ordained by God. No other name ordained by God by which we must be saved. No other name. There is refuge in none other than Jesus Christ. Many people look for what the scriptures call, what Jehovah calls, a refuge of lies. Many people, instead of fleeing to Christ for refuge, have sought to find refuge in the law of Moses. No one ever found safety in the law of Moses. It reveals yourself to be a sinner. It reveals and condemns you. There's nothing but condemnation in that law. You find no refuge in it. Some have tried to find refuge in the Sabbath. Some have tried to find refuge in an ordinance such as baptism. Some have tried to find refuge in their church. Some have tried to find refuge in their good works, their legal righteousness, this and that and the other. Folks, Jehovah says it is a refuge of lies, and the flood will sweep it away. Every refuge will be swept away except this one ordained by God, Jesus Christ. He is the only refuge for sinners. Third, these cities of refuge were for manslayers, and manslayers were the guiltiest of men. We read in verse 3 that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there. What man is worse than he who takes the life of another? Murder is such a horrendous crime because man was made in God's image, and murder is an attack upon the very image of God. And yet, here's a man who has killed someone, and the victim is just as dead as though he had been murdered. He has not been murdered. It is involuntary manslaughter, accidental manslaughter. He's still dead. You can't change that fact. He's still dead. How might this happen? The scriptures give a few instances, a few examples, so that Israel would know what involuntary manslaughter was. And perhaps the foremost example given unto us is of two men who go to fell a tree in the forest, and each of them has an axe. And one's on one side of the tree, and the other is on the other side of the tree, and they're hacking away at the tree to bring it down. And one man's axe head comes off the handle and strikes his friend, perhaps his best friend, perhaps his neighbor, someone close to him. But that axe head slips off the handle and strikes the man so that he dies, kills him on the spot. It's unintentional, but folks, he's dead. He's dead. You can't change that fact. Here is a city of refuge given for a manslayer who is the guiltiest of men. And likewise, Jesus Christ is a refuge for manslayers, the guiltiest of men. The difference between Christ the refuge and the cities of refuge is this, and it is an important distinction. The cities of refuge were for only unintentional killers. Christ is a refuge for willful murderers. Willful murderers. Who are willful murderers? You, me. The scriptures declare that he who hates his brother is a murderer. The scriptures and our Lord Jesus Christ himself taught that if you hate your brother without a fault and with malice toward him, you're a murderer. So, where are we tonight? I'm standing here with you in murderer's row. That's where we are, folks. Just a bunch of murderers. Every one of you. Every one of us. Just a bunch of murderers here tonight. And Jesus Christ is a refuge for murderers like you and me. Murderers like you and me. Jesus Christ is a refuge for murderers like you and me. Fourth, these cities gave refuge from justice. Look in verse 3. The avenger of blood was to come after the man who killed his loved one. He was a kinsman of the slain. The avenger of blood. He was to seek vengeance for the death of his kinsman. Could be a brother. Could be a father, could be a cousin, but some relative, if not more than one, was going to come after you if you killed his relative. It may have been unintentional. The axe head came off, and alas and alack, you did not intend it, but the avenger of blood is coming after you. And this city of refuge was to give you refuge from him. If you could get to the city before that avenger of blood, but if he found you, he justly could kill you on the spot and avenge the blood of his loved one. He is justice. The avenger of blood is a man of justice. And likewise, Jesus Christ gives refuge from justice. Who is justice in this instance? It's divine justice. Divine justice is coming for murderers like you and me. Like you and me. Justice is looking for you. Unless you've already come to the city. If you have not come to Christ yet, justice is looking for you. He may be coming down the highway right this very moment. He may walk through that door while we're seated here. He may walk into this auditorium and look around for you. But justice will find you unless you get to Christ before justice finds you. And I implore you, don't let justice catch you. Flee to Christ before justice reaches you. He will find you if you do not get to Christ in time. Number five, these cities of refuge were available to all inhabitants. In verse 9, for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, according to Numbers 35, verse 15. If you were in the land of Israel, if you were an Israelite, or if you were a sojourner in the land, if you were a Gentile passing through, and you killed someone unintentionally, this city was for you. You did not have to be an Israelite. You could be a Gentile sojourning or just traveling through. This city of refuge was available to all inhabitants. No one was denied access to a city of refuge because of his gender, class, status, nationality, or any other distinction among men, and likewise, refuge in Christ is available to all. God is no respecter of persons and shows no partiality and accepts all who come to him the right way. All who come. This is good news for any kind of a murderer. We all have this in common, folks. We're murderers, but we're just all different kinds. Some of us are male and some are female. Some are Jewish and some are Gentile. And some are this and some are that. But there's a refuge for any kind of a murderer in Jesus Christ. Christ receives and gives refuge to all sorts of people. All sorts of people. And bars none. Bars none. Refuge in Christ is available to you and you. And you and me. Sixth, the guilty had to flee to one of those cities. Verse 4. Did you see the word flee? He had to flee. Delay could be deadly. The axe handle has come off. And I have just killed my friend unintentionally. Unintentionally. And the man who is there with us says, run to the city of refuge right now. Well, let me go home and pack some necessities. Nope! The only necessity is flee right now. Go! Let me go home and at least kiss my wife. Nope, you don't get that neither. You gotta go right now. You might meet that avenger of blood on your way back to your house. Once you have killed someone, you must flee. You must go that very moment. You must go and run as fast as you can to the city of refuge. It's not far. It's not far, but you must not delay. And likewise, the guilty must flee to Christ. Now, delay will give God's justice time to catch you before you find refuge in Christ. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, sinner, if you have never fled to Christ, do it now. Do it now. Delay no longer. Number seven, these cities of refuge were near to all. As I told you earlier, six in number. Three on the east bank, three on the west bank, two in the north, two in the south and two in the center. The Lord made refuge available to all. He did not put any man far from one of these cities. Every man was near and close in proximity to one of these cities. And likewise, Christ is a refuge near to all. Would you flee to Christ? You do not need to ascend into heaven to find him. No. You do not need to descend into the earth to find him. No. Paul said, a blind man may grope in the darkness and find him. He's that close. He's that close. Christ is so close to you right now. Though you are so far from him as you can be, he is so close to you right now that you have reached him the first moment you trust in him. He's that near. He's that close. Trust in him now, and you are in him, and you're safe. Though you be so far from him, he is that near to you. Number 8, these cities of refuge had to be entered in order for the guilty to find refuge in them. You had to go into the city. You cannot run and look behind you and say, aha, I have outrun the avenger of blood. I have come to the gate. I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm going to sit down here by this gate and rest a moment. Oh, that could be deadly. That could be deadly. There is no safety except inside the city. But I'm so close, I can touch the wall. My hand is on the handle of the gate. That's not close enough, folks. That is not close enough. You must be inside the city if you would find refuge. There is no refuge outside the city ever even so close to it. Some come very near to Christ and never find refuge in him. Some know so much about him. Some believe what the scriptures say about him. He's God manifested in the flesh. I believe that. He never sinned. I believe that. He died for sinners. I believe that. He arose from the dead. I believe that. There are some who used to and perhaps still do speak of themselves as fundamentalists and believing the fundamentals of the faith. Folks, you can believe the fundamentals and go straight to hell. You can go to hell believing the truth about Jesus Christ. Believing the truth about Jesus Christ will bring you close to him. As Jesus said to a certain lawyer, you are not far from the kingdom of God, but being not far from the kingdom of God, being right next to the kingdom of God is not the same as being in it. And being close to Christ, ever so close, is not the same as being in him. Refuge is found only in Christ. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in him? Have you come close but did not enter? You're under condemnation until you are in him. And we come to be in him through faith in him. Number 9, these cities of refuge were easily accessible. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 3, Jehovah told Israel, you shall prepare roads for yourself that any manslayer may flee there. Prepare roads. These cities of refuge belonged to Levites. And each city had a road crew. And the purpose of that road crew was to check the road, probably every day. Look, a tree has fallen over. Get it up! Pick it up! There was to be no obstacle in the road leading to the city of refuge. No obstacle. The fallen tree must be removed. Landslide covered part of the road. Get it out of the way. Jehovah said, the roads must be kept clear. There was a road crew that checked on these from time to time just to ascertain that the road to the city of refuge was easily accessible. And likewise, Christ, Him is easily accessible. He Himself is the highway to Himself. And it is free of obstacles. No obstacles in Christ. Nothing to impede your way. If Christ sees you coming to Him, He'll throw no obstacle in your way. He'll in no way impede you. He'll not trip you when you're trying to come to Him. The way is clear. It is all clear. The only obstacle you will ever meet in coming to Christ is one you put there in front of yourself. Because to Him, no obstacle. You have no excuse. No excuse. You cannot say, I was impeded. You were not. You cannot say there was an obstacle. There was not. The way to Christ is free. Number 10, he who reached the city of refuge was to be given lodging while in it, in verse 4. And when he flees to one of those cities, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And likewise, all who flee to Christ are given lodging in him, just like they were in the city. When you came to the city of refuge, and when you were granted access into the city and permission to come into it, the people of the city would come and meet you and say, we have a house ready for you. Well, I did not bring any clothes. We have taken care of that. We have garments for you. Every necessity that you needed in the city of refuge, it was met. It was met. You went into the city of refuge. A house was provided for you. Lodging place provided for you. Food provided for you. All the necessities of your life, the people of that city made sure that you had them. And likewise, it is so when you flee to Christ. When you abide in Christ, every need that you have will be found. And I'll tell you this. If you ever come into Christ, you're going to find that everybody already in Christ is going to welcome you with open arms. They welcomed me that way. They welcomed me. All who come to Christ are met with open arms. My beloved and I have been traveling many miles for the past few weeks. You know what we've found? We drive into a town and someone says, you're spending the night with us. Okay? And don't worry about eating. We're going to take care of that. I think that's going for me tonight. Is that right? Okay. All right. I drive into Ashland and someone says, we have a place for you. You're staying with us and we're going to feed you and take care of you while you're here. You see, that's the way the Lord's people take care of refugees. They who come to Christ have their needs met. I'm going to tell you, folks, you'll not find better people in all the world than those who are in Christ. Number 11. By the way, there's only two more points. He, having said that, requested I preach on another message. So when I finish this one, I'm going to go to the second one. Just for him, if you wish to stay, that's okay. Point number 11. He who found refuge in one of these cities was liberated upon the death of the high priest. Verse 6. He shall dwell in that city until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house to the city from which he fled. He had to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest died and then he can go home. He's free, folks. When the priest died, he's free. And so it is in Christ. He is my high priest. He is the high priest of all who find refuge in him. He already has died. And all who come to Christ for refuge immediately are liberated. Liberated. Set free, folks. Set free. All who come to Christ for refuge become free and liberated. Free from bondage. Free from the law. Free from condemnation. Free from everything that burdened them before. Because our high priest has already died. 12th and final point. The guilty man who refused to flee to a city of refuge would deserve the death inflicted upon him. He deserved it. Folks, God has given a refuge and put it so close. Made access into this refuge so easy. Nothing impedes you. Nothing obstructs you. But if you will not come to Christ, you deserve the death you're going to die. So I ask you, have you fled to Christ? I'm sure that I speak to many tonight who can say, yes, I have. Yes, I have. But there may be even one here tonight who has never come to Christ. Never come. What prevents you? The avenger of blood is coming after you. The avenger of blood will find you unless you find refuge in Christ. And if you delay and God's justice finds you, you deserve the death you die. So flee to Christ right now. And O God our Father, bless this word we pray to the glory of your Son, the refuge for our souls, and in whose name we pray. Amen.
Brother Parks, priest in Fairmont, West Virginia, I talked to Pastor Marvin Stoniker the next day. He was singing the praises of the message that he had heard. And I asked if Moose was planning on preaching that message tonight. Marvin already preached it to me on the phone, but I was wanting to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. I'm so glad you preached the message God laid on your heart. That was the sweet balm of Gilead to my soul. That's such good news. That's the gospel. That's the Savior. And it came to my mind as I was listening to him preach. What would stop me from coming to that Savior right now? The only thing I can think of is my self-righteousness. The only person that won't come to that Savior is somebody not guilty. They think they got something to plead. They got something to argue for God. But the guilty man, the guilty woman, isn't that good news? Flee to Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful. All right, Mike, you come lead us. He's already here. You come lead us in singing a song.
Number 509. Stand as we sing.
The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I sigh for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Dark hath been the mist. sweet well of love, the streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merit. I know no other stand, not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel.